The following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the services of Sunday, October 2nd, 2016.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for our radio broadcast. We begin worship this morning with confession and forgiveness.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's take a moment now to reflect upon our own sinfulness through silent meditation and reflection. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we sing our opening hymn. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please be seated. Benevolent, merciful God, when we are empty, fill us. When we are weak in faith, strengthen us. When we are cold in love, warm us, that with fervor we may love our neighbors and serve them for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And we now hear special music from our choir.
Thank you. lesson today is found in Habakkuk, the first chapter, the oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen, or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack, and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. This ends our first reading. The second reading is from 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. This ends our lesson.
Please rise. Holy Gospel from Luke, the 17th chapter. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who had just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later, you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, and I invite the children to come up. Good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
So is bigger always better? No?
Depends.
It depends. Okay. What are some times when bigger is better? Yeah?
Money.
don't know. Sometimes too much money can get you into trouble. What about French fries? Right, who likes French fries? Right, some of us don't, right? It's okay, no more French fries for you. Would you rather have like 3 French fries or like 20? 3? Who wants a bunch? When you want French, you want a big one, right? So there's a time when maybe bigger is better, right? What are some times when bigger is not better? Yeah? Okay, you keep thinking. Anybody else? Bigger is not better. Let's say you drop something underneath, like a couch or some sort of piece of furniture. Is it better to have like thin little arms that can reach in? Yeah? Do your parents ever ask you to get stuff for them because it's, you know, like behind something and they can't get there? You guys ever seen your dad try to like go behind the couch? Right? It's pretty ugly, isn't it? I mean, he gets stuck back there. He's too big, right? It's better to be...
Stand up on a glass table.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't be a good idea either, right? So this is the way it works with faith, too. Did you know that you don't need a big, huge faith? Do you guys think that I have more faith than you guys do? Maybe, no, see, Isabel knows. No. I have faith you guys do. Everybody has just this little bit of faith, and that's all we need. Because that little bit is enough. It covers everything. So you might think, oh, I got to, you know, be a pastor and wear the robes, right? Or the cool kids who are wearing the stoles today who are getting First Communion, right? That's really cool. But they don't have any more faith than anyone else. All right? So just remember that. Doesn't matter how big or small you are, God loves you no matter what. Doesn't matter how much faith you have, big or small, God loves you no matter what. Make sense? All right? Okay, so let's fold our hands and close our eyes and bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for giving us the gift of faith. Giving us the gift of faith. Amen. All right, well, thank you guys for coming up. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This outburst from the apostles to Jesus in Luke 17th chapter, increase our faith. It's pretty common for them. They're always looking for this, you know, thing, this, you know, kind of ability to hold on to something, like faith. Because bigger is always better, right? As we just talked about with the kids, it's not always better, but I think we kind of approach it that way. You know, you go to buy a car, and you know it doesn't matter what the thing is. Maybe it's miles per gallon these days, or maybe it's cargo space, or it's this or that, towing power. And we're like, oh yeah, well, you know, I really need this, but how much would be nice to have that? You know, get that one little extra feature. Bigger is always better. We think that somehow, if we have more, we'll be better off. Money is a great example of that. If we just have more money, we'll be okay. And then Jesus, of course, does that typical Jesus thing. He takes that assumption that we have about life and says, you're totally wrong. It's actually kind of the opposite. So here are the disciples who are looking for bigger faith, for more faith. And Jesus says, all that you need is faith the size of a mustard seed. That's it. That'll be enough to tell a tree to be uprooted and thrown in the sea. The reality about faith is that it's not about how much faith you have, it's about if you have faith. And faith is not necessarily measured in terms of its power, but in terms of its endurance. Because even the tiniest amount of faith is enough to overcome any difficulty or obstacle. But our faith is not always there for us, it seems. Faith is a gift from God, and it doesn't increase throughout our lifetimes. But I think what happens is that we're able to kind of understand better how it works in our life. It's always there, but we are so used to, one might say almost addicted to, relying on our own works, relying on what we have done. This is why Jesus follows up this little quip about increase our faith. Well, yeah, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, right? He follows that up with this story about this slave and the master. And he's asking these folks, these apostles, would you do this with your slave? Would you let your slave come and eat at the table with you? Or would you insist that they make the food and serve you? Because what's happening is we so often have taken our own works, our own ability to save ourselves, and given it more privilege than it deserves. This isn't about social justice. This is about the wrong thing being in the wrong place. It's like putting diesel fuel in your gas-powered engine, right? It's about doing the wrong thing with the wrong stuff. We so often look to our own abilities, our own works, and say, ah, this is why I'm okay. This is why I know I'm a good enough person. I've done this or I've done that. I've been to church, right? That's enough. That makes it okay. Or I've given some money to charity. Or someone who says, I've accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. That solves it. The problem is you get to those difficult moments in life where faith is essential. When you find out that someone you love has passed away, when you find out that you're losing your job, when you find out that you have been diagnosed with an awful, terrible disease. And it is in that moment that none of those other things matter, but only faith will suffice. Only faith will give you comfort. Only faith will help you to know that no matter what is coming your way, you will be okay. The idea that we would somehow replace faith with our own works makes no sense to Christ, which is why he tells this story about the slave and the master. Because we do this too often. We get anxious, we get worried, we don't know what to do, we don't know what the answers are, we don't know how we're going to make it through, and we start turning to our own abilities, our own possessions, our own accomplishments. And we say, ah, well, but I've done this, I've done that, I've done these things. And that will make me okay. Listen to how Habakkuk talks about it. This is the very bottom. If you want to look at the back of your bulletin, verse 4. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them. This is what Habakkuk is talking about. This is what Jesus is talking about. The idea that we have the wrong spirit in us. The spirit we have in us is one that's focused on our ability, our accomplishments. That we're going to be okay because, well, we're good people, right? But, Habakkuk continues, the righteous live by their faith. And that's what Christ is trying to tell us. This isn't about increasing faith. It's about having faith. One of the hardest things about the Christian life is realizing that the newest member at this church has just as much power as the oldest member of this church. It's not a fun realization for those older members sometimes, right? When they find out, well, but wait a second, I built this church, I put it all together, right? God doesn't care about that. I mean, we certainly appreciate the efforts, but God is concerned about faith, about the gift of faith that God has given us in baptism. As the writer of 2 Timothy says, and this is in verse 9, the right-hand side of your back of your bulletin, about a third of the way down. God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Certainly you have been called. And this is why Jesus also ends this section, we are worthless slaves, we have done only what we ought to have done. You are being called. to go out into the world to be good news for all people, to share good news with folks, to let them know that they have a God who loves them. You are being called to do this among other things. You're called to love your neighbor as yourself. You're called to reach out to all people regardless of religion, ethnicity, creed, or whatever, and love them and accept them. We're not called to make decisions or distinctions based on external accidents of birth like skin color. We are being called, yeah. But whether or not we answer that call and how well we might answer it has nothing to do with God's grace. God's grace comes to us again and again and again, no matter what. God loves you beyond all measure, will never forsake you, is in your lives, and will never let go. God has claimed you in the waters of baptism and has said, "You are mine. You are my child. I love you no matter what." And God hopes for us that in that we can hear and know that we have faith. Faith that turns to God in those dark moments of the soul when we're anxious and we don't know what the outcome will be. And that we will know that we are okay. That life will be okay no matter what. Even if it ends, it will still be okay. Because God reaches through death into the grave and pulls us out because of his love for us. So you can say, increase our faith. You can say, make me a better Christian. Help me to, you know, be a bigger person, a better person, all those things. But what really matters is God's love and the gift of grace in your lives. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. And let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we receive our benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. And we sing our sending hymn.